I'm going to look today from Bereshit 22, chapter 22, and I've titled it The Foundation of the Third Day Revelation. And I just hope that you get something out of this that I got as I read it and went from it, because to me, it starts generation and we'll start at Bereshit and finish at Revelation. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you for this word today, and we just pray that it will just resonate with people as they hear this word, and you will speak into their hearts. And I just pray, Abba Father, that this word that I have got, that you have given me, will just give them a peace. That they know that no matter what happens in their life, that you are in complete control. And we just give this to you today, and I just pray that each of them will receive that third day revelation. In Yeshua's name, amen. So we'll start off with Bereshit 22 and verse 2. I've got a few scriptures to start with. So I've set up, I can't see from here. Okay. 22:2 said, and he said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzhak, and go to the land of Moriah. There you are to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will point out to you. And further down in verses 13 to 14, Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the bushes by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham called the place Yehovah Yireh, Yehovah will see to it, or Yehovah provides. As it is said to this day, on the mountain, Yehovah is seen. So as it says in the title of this parashah, Yehovah appeared in the title, but he is seen, the same means the same thing. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1, then Shlomo began the house of Yehovah in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where Yehovah had appeared to David his father. Provision had been made for this at this place David had chosen, the threshing floor of Ornan the Yebusi. Now, Yebusi in those days is current Jerusalem, and of course Mount Moriah is the Temple Mount. But I'll explain that further for you. And then in Matityahu, Matthew 16:15-18 says, but you, he said to them, who do you, this is Yeshua speaking, who do you say I am? And Shimon Kepha answered, you are Mashiach, the son of the living Elohim. Shimon bar Yochanan, Yeshua said to him, how blessed are you, for no human being revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. I also tell you this, you are Kepha, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it. Now this was a very special mountain that stood in Jerusalem, that first comes into significance in Abraham's day. That is Mount Moriah. The name Moriah, as people say, means scene of Yah. But as you know, I'm a literalist. So I look at the word literally as it is written in Hebrew. And when I see the word Moriah written in Hebrew, it says to me, from the light of my Yah. Because the of Moriah means from. Or is light. E is my Yah. Moriah. From the light of Yehovah, or my Yehovah. Yehovah is light, and all light comes from him. He doesn't live in the dark, and that is why we must always endeavour to live in the light. It was to Mount Moriah that Abraham was told to take his only son Yitzhak and sacrifice him to Yehovah. We read a few statements made by Abraham, but the mind of the man and his faith accomplished some great feats in order for him to be able to say what he did in Bereshit chapter 22, verses 1 to 5. It says, after these things, Elohim tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and he answered, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Yitzhak, and go to the land of Moriah. There you are to offer him as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will point out to you. Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, together with Yitzhak, his son. He cut the wood for the burnt offering, departed and went towards the place Elohim had told him about. On the third day, wasn't the second day, it wasn't the fourth day, it was the third day. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place in the distance. Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go there, worship, and return to you. Just being told to go up and offer your own son, whom you love as a sacrifice, would have affected the mind of many, and I'm sure it would have affected the mind of Abraham at that time, because Yah had given him promises. So in order to respond to the servants telling them that he and the boy would return to them after worshipping, a lot would have had to have gone through Abraham's mind. We need to appreciate that what Yah was really asking of Abraham. Yah had previously told him that all nations of the world would be blessed through his son, but now he's telling him to sacrifice him. From that son would come descendants as innumerable in number as the sand on the sea or the stars in the sky. And then Yehovah commands him to sacrifice that same son. This is mind-boggling. You know, how much faith have you got to have to really comprehend what Yah is saying? It seems like there's conflict there. In saying one thing, I'll promise you this, and then now do that. But he had to have faith. He had to trust Yah. We can all be in a position in life where we've got to trust Yah. We have to be obedient to him. An obedience that requires a supernatural faith, in my opinion. I have to have it for Malachi at the moment. Other people need it for other things. But we all need that supernatural faith. And I'm sure this is what Abraham had at this time. In Bereshit 22 and verse 9 it says, they came to the place Elohim had told him about, and Abraham built the altar there, set the wood in order, bound Yitzhak his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. It was on Mount Moriah, on the mountain where the light of Yehovah was to be present, was where he built that altar. But what did he build other than an altar? Let's have a look at Messianic Jews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. By trusting, Abraham, when he was put to the test, offered up Yitzhak as a sacrifice. Yes, he offered up his only son who had received the promises, to whom that had been said, what is called your seed will be in Yitzhak. For he had concluded that Elohim could even raise people from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did so receive him. For Abraham to hear Yah say that he must sacrifice Yitzhak and then tell the servants that he would leave and return with the boy, he needed to have had a revelation. He had a revelation or a knowing that Yehovah's promises are true no matter what things look like. He had a revelation that Yah would have to resurrect Yitzhak from the dead in order to make the two statements, neither of which can be wrong. When he said Yitzhak would be the start of the uncountable souls that could not be violated by the words of the sacrifice. So Avraham realized Yehovah would have to resurrect his son. This is Avraham seeing the truth of resurrection before he had even killed his son. Avraham faced a situation of death, and we know that Hasatan, the adversary, has the power of death, as it tells us in Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Therefore, since the children share a common physical nature as human beings, he, Yeshua, became like them and shared the same human nature, so that by his death he might render ineffective the one who had power over death, that is, the adversary. Death is an enemy. It is the greatest enemy, and Avraham faced the prospects of having his son die, to be taken away from him. Yehovah even stressed the situation by calling Yitzhak his only son, whom Avraham loved. But Avraham saw something. It was that light bulb moment that had caused him to obtain victory over the adversary's greatest weapon, death. He saw a revelation on the mountain that reveals the light of Yah and where it shall be seen. Where we read in Bereshit 22, 13 and 14, Avraham raised his eyes and looked, and there behind him, he raised his eyes and looked, and it was behind him. If you ever hear the voice of Yah speaking to you and you're looking, the voice is behind you, always behind you. This time the ram was behind Avraham. Behind him was a ram caught in the bushes by its horns. Avraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering, offering in place of his son. Avraham called the place Yehovah Yireh, Yehovah will see to it, or Yehovah provides, as it said to this day, on the mountain Yehovah is seen. Avraham, in fact, did receive Yitzhak back again from the dead. He literally had the knife over the child when he was stopped. He received Yitzhak back figuratively. The ram's death counted for Yitzhak's death. So Yitzhak's return from the mountain, since the ram died in his place, was like Yitzhak being resurrected from the dead. Abraham said, "On the mountain, Yehovah is seen." Or as the title of this parasha reads, he appeared. And what Moriah means in English, Avraham saw a truth and a revelation that Yehovah counts the sacrifice as our deaths. Avraham and Yitzhak did indeed return. A second point I think is important with our readings today is the third day reference. We read in Bereshit 22, 4 and 5, on the third day, Avraham raised his eyes and saw the place in the distance. Avraham said to his young men, "Stay with the donkey, I and the boy will go there and worship and return to you." When Avraham raised his eyes, or he lifted his eyes upwards towards the mountaintop, or to Yah, these are the eyes of understanding. Understanding to receive revelation. And he received them on the third day of his journey. What do you think when I mention the third day? The first thing I think of is Yeshua's resurrection. Yeshua HaMashiach was resurrected on the third day. Yeshua, the only beloved son of Yehovah, as Yitzhak was the only beloved son of Avraham. Without that resurrection, many nations would never be blessed as they are today. We would not know his Ruach today had it not been for that resurrection. Yitzhak, to my reckoning, was a typology of Yeshua. We need our eyes of understanding enlightened to see Yeshua as resurrected and that we are seated together with him in heavenly places. We need to lift up our eyes up high enough to where Yeshua is seated in heaven and see that we are seated with him. When Abraham lifted his eyes, he saw a ram to be substituted and die in Yitzhak's place. Like a ram's head caught in the thickets, Yeshua HaMashiach had a crown of thorns placed on his head as he died. To me, this is the whole foundation of the entire messianic faith. And we read in Bereshit, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, I will most certainly bless you, I will most certainly increase your descendants to as many as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand on the seashore. Your descendants will possess the cities of their enemies. What are they going to possess? The city of their enemies. Where are we living at the moment? I think we're living among enemies. The masks are on again, folks. They are on the foundation where Abraham saw a revelation of resurrection from the dead by a special sacrifice. It was in that same place that Yeshua would possess the keys to the gates of his enemy. The gates of hell were the property of the adversary or the devil. I love the scaffolding in that word devil, because if I take off the D, what do I have? Evil. There's nothing worse than the evil that some of us have been bound in for the last 2 years. Yeshua conquered death and hell and the grave. He possessed the gates of hell at the very place that Yah showed this revelation to Abraham, and Abraham saw the truth of death for another, and that the other might live, in effect be resurrected from death. The same place where the temple one day would be built on what is today called the Temple Mount. Upon that rock, Mount Moriah, the temple would be built. And Yeshua spoke of building his church or his messianic community on the rock and said the gates of hell would not prevail against it, because Yeshua would possess and take control of those gates. Can we all say hallelujah to that one? We read centuries later in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 that King David is coming down to the close of his life and is tempted by the evil one to number his military might. What was so insulting to Yehovah about this is that Yah was with him no matter how many military men he had. Not only that, but his men were totally for him, and counting them would not lessen or add to his military might. But David began slipping away from his confidence in Yah and worried, so he sought to check how much fleshly power he had. It took 9 months and 3 weeks to make the count from Dan to Beersheba. As soon as David was told that he had 1,100,000 men from Israel and 470,000 men from Yehuda, he cried out to Yah in repentance. He admitted he sinned. Not only that, but Torah said that if you count Israel, then you must pay the tribute money for each and every soul. This is where he got his fear from. Yah showed me very early in this ministry, and we've been going nearly 25 years, that I was not to be concerned with the number of people within the... Sorry, nearly fell off. I'm still here. That I wasn't to be concerned about the number of people in the congregation. If I come down, you can't see me, so this lectern's higher than the one upstairs. And I would lack over the lack of growth we were having. But Yah showed me very clearly that this ministry was ahead of its time, and that he would bring the people he wanted, and they would not be just those in the room, but all over the world. Now, he also told me I wouldn't have to travel over the world to speak, but the ministry would be worldwide. This was long before the internet and live streaming. Yah's word is faithful and true, and we must be faithful and true to him. He told me never to worry about the numbers. Never to count the numbers. If people want to leave, let them go. If they don't, if they want to stay, well and good. But they're not yours. They never will be. We don't have membership. People are free to come and go as they please. In Shemot Exodus chapter 30 and verse 12, it says, when you take a census of the people of Israel and register them, each upon registration is to pay a ransom for his life to Yehovah to avoid any breakout of plague among them during the time of the census. So a plague would come, and then Yah sent the prophet named Gad the seer to David and gave David one of three choices of punishments. So he counted all his mighty men, then a plague comes. He was given three choices. One, 7 months of famine. Two, 3 months of fleeing from his enemies. Or three days of pestilence. 3 days will always speak of the stake in some manner. David chose to fall into Yah's merciful hand and accept the third choice of direct punishment from Yehovah for 3 days of plague and pestilence. And from Dan to Beersheba, the very places where the count was made, 70,000 souls died. Then we read on the third day of the plague in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 15 to 18. Elohim also sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. But when he was about to carry out the destruction, Yehovah saw it and changed his mind about causing such distress. So he said to the destroying angel, enough. Now withdraw your hand. The angel of Yehovah was standing at the threshing floor of Ornan the Yebusi. David raised his eyes and saw the angel of Yehovah standing between the earth and the sky, and in his hand was a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the leaders wearing sackcloth fell on their faces. David said to Elohim, wasn't it I who ordered the census for the people? Yes, I am the one who sinned and done something very wicked. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and my father's family, but not against your people, striking them with this plague. Then the angel of Yehovah ordered Gad to tell David to go and set up an altar to Yehovah on the threshing floor of Ornan the Yebusi. King David saw that Jerusalem was about to be destroyed. He faced an enemy called death, as Avraham faced the proposition of a death of his son. But King David got a revelation. Suddenly he spoke with a prophetic spirit and said things that would be true of Yeshua HaMashiach. He said, as a shepherd, David said, but these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me, but not against your people. And Yeshua said in Yochanan chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So here, King David is being a typology of Yeshua. King David realized in Revelation that he could die instead of Yerushalayim. This was revelatory. It was very significant. Another would die for others. The Ruach, or sacrifice, came upon him. And that is what Yah always looks for. A sacrifice of self and a sacrifice of praise to him. It doesn't matter what is going on in our lives, we have so many blessings that we can praise him for. In 1 Chronicles 21, 26 to 28, then David built an altar to Yehovah there and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called on Yehovah, who answered him from heaven by fire on the altar for burnt offerings. Yehovah gave an order to the angel and put his sword back in its sheath. When David saw that Yehovah had answered him at the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusi, he sacrificed there. King David got a revelation. Just like Abraham's altar was meant to offer Yitzhak upon a substitute death took place, at the very spot King David's words or substitution were associated with an altar. When Yah heard David say, "Let your hand be against me," he sent word for an altar. That altar stood for King David's death. David acted so self-centeredly when he numbered the children of Israel. But here Yah saw him as acting selflessly. When King David made that statement, Yah saw that he caught hold of something divine. He caught hold of the heartbeat of Yah and the essence of the entire gospel message. He caught hold of that which would be the foundation of the messianic community itself. The entire basis for which the whole concept of salvation by Yeshua HaMashiach was this truth of dying to self. And it's one of the hardest things to do. It's so easy for the old man to raise itself and bitterness or anger or jealousy or something raise its head. But we have to die to self daily. This was at the exact same location where Abraham saw something, caught a truth, and had such a powerful revelation. Abraham saw that the sacrifice was substitution for future generations. He saw that through a sort of resurrection of the death in Yitzhak, many nations would be blessed, since that ram's death stood as Yitzhak's death then. Right there in 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 1, it says, "Then David said, 'This is the house of Yehovah Elohim, and this is the altar Israel is to use for burnt offerings.'" It was as though King David said, "Upon this rock I will build the temple." He saw Yehovah accepted and approved of that sacrifice. He would not go to Givon and make more offerings where he usually made offerings, but Yah approved of this place. In Devarim, Deuteronomy 12 and verse 5, it says, "Rather you are to come to the place where Yehovah Eloheinu will put his name. He will choose it from all your tribes, and you will seek out that place, which is where he will live, and go there." Yehovah indicated to King David where that place was, on the mountain, or rock as it were, where Abraham arrived after a 3-day journey and saw Yitzhak resurrected from the death of the ram, where King David offered himself in death and representatively died through sacrifice there instead of the men he had counted. It's the very place that the temple was built. Now Ornan the Jebusi owned a threshing floor there. And of course you know what starts with the word Ornan, don't you? Or light. And he was Jebusi, or a person of Yerushalayim. To me he was a man of light or truth. It was a place high in a mountain where the wind would blow away the chaff from the wheat he threshed, where elements not desired in the wheat were removed and taken to be burned and separated. Jochanan the Immerser describes Yeshua, saying in Matityahu chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, "It's true that I am immersing you in water so that you might return to your sin to Elohim. But the one coming after me is more powerful than I. I'm not worthy even to carry his sandals, and he will immerse you in the Ruach HaKodesh and in fire. He has with him his winnowing fork, and he will clear out his threshing floor, gather his wheat into the barn, but burning up the straw with unquenchable fire." Yeshua saw that Kepha received a revelation that he was the Mashiach, the son of the living Elohim. Kepha caught hold of that revelation of the living Elohim. He understood somewhat of Yehovah's life, so he received a revelation associated with Avraham and David's revelations. That is the life of Yehovah. And Yeshua said he would build his messianic community on that rock, the rock of knowledge that Kepha had received, and that the gates of hell would not prevail against that kind of messianic community. In Matityahu chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, it says, "But you," he said to them, "who do you say I am?" And Shimon Kepha answered, "You are HaMashiach, the son of the living Elohim." Shimon bar Yochanan, Yeshua said to him, "How blessed you are, for no human being revealed this to you. No, it was my Father in heaven. I tell you this, you are Kepha, which means rock, and on this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overcome it." Once King David received the revelation, he actually set out to prepare the building of the temple immediately after that. It was as though Yah waited for King David to get the revelation of a substitution sacrifice and then proceeded to tell him to make an altar and indicate that this is where the temple would be built. Yeshua sees that Kepha receives a revelation and starts speaking truths that he had never spoken before. And I love seeing the parallels in Scripture, as you know, and it is to me the second and third witness. From Matityahu 16:21, "From that time on, Yeshua began making it clear to his Talmudim that he had to go to Jerusalem and endure much suffering at the hands of the elders, the head Kohanim and the Torah teachers, and that he had to be put to death, that on the third day he had to be raised to life." He kept telling them, but they couldn't get the message. They simply did not comprehend it. Yeshua laid the foundation, the foundational truths of death and resurrection. He immediately proceeded to speak of his death and resurrection, and he started laying the foundation, the death that would be the substitute for our deaths. The grave's gates could not prevail against the messianic believers because of its foundation is his death, made in substitution for our deaths. How can death harm a community of believers that is based upon dying with Yeshua and resurrecting from the dead with him? The entire foundation of the messianic community is that the truth we receive in powerful revelation is that death is overcome by Yeshua's sacrifice. Like the ram dying in Yitzhak, like King David willing to die for Jerusalem, it is appointed to man to die once. In Messianic Jews Hebrews 9:27 and 28 it says, "Just as human beings have to die once, but after this comes judgment, so also the Messiah, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to deliver those who are eagerly awaiting for him." Yeshua dies once because we are supposed to die once. He takes care of that death debt we owe. He paid a debt, we owed the debt. Because of his death, there goes my death and my judgment. There goes your death and your judgment. We had a death and B, a judgment afterwards. Yeshua died A, once, B, to bear our sins. Therefore, there is no judgment as that has been paid for. And the adversary or evil one has had the power of death, according to Messianic Jews 2:14. Anything the evil one does is in the category of the power of death. So anything the evil one tries to do to us, we need to stand up firm and on the foundation of the death of Yeshua HaMashiach and what it did for us. And let HaSatan know he has no jurisdiction or power over anyone who paid the death of death through Yeshua HaMashiach and the gates of And the gates of grave and death cannot prevail against us. They built the temple on Mount Moriah, where Yehovah appeared and was seen. As I said earlier, seen of Yah indicates a revelation. This revelation involves you. Once you see the truth of Yah's life, his resurrection is your foundation, and you experience his resurrection, and you therefore are on a rock of safety that keeps you safe from any storm or any attack from the power of death. Matityahu 26:63-64 says, Yeshua remained silent. The Kohen HaGadol said to him, I'll put you under oath, but the living Elohim tells us, if you are the HaMashiach, the son of Elohim. Yeshua said to him, the words are your own. But I tell you that one day you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of HaGavurah and coming on the clouds of heaven. The Kohen HaGadol, or high priest, sentenced him to death for making that statement. Matityahu 65:67a says that this, the Kohen HaGadol tore his robes. Blasphemy, he said. Why do we still need witnesses? You heard him blaspheme. What is your verdict? Guilty, they answered. He deserves death. Then they spit in his face and pounded him with their fists. This statement condemned Yeshua to death. They said they should kill him if he thinks he is the son of the living Elohim. A son of the living Elohim would rise from death if we killed him. They didn't understand that, but Yeshua proved it. Yochanan Aleph 1 John chapter 5 verse 5. Who does overcome the world if not the person who believes that Yeshua is the son of Elohim? If you believe that Yeshua is the son of Elohim, you have overcome whatever is going to happen in this world. In Yochanan Aleph 5 verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of Elohim has come and has given us discernment so that we may know who is genuine. Moreover, we are united with the one who is genuine, united with his Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the genuine Elohim and eternal life. In the same chapter where we read of Avraham's revelation and of resurrection life, in Bereshit 22:17, it says, I will most certainly bless you. I will most certainly increase your descendants as to as many as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand in the seashore. Your descendants will possess the cities of the enemies. The seed of Avraham would possess the cities of their enemies, which to me infers that also the gates of the enemies, because the gates are the entrance into the cities. Yeshua has the keys of death and hell, as it says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, I am the Aleph and the Tav, says Yehovah Elohim. heaven of heaven's armies, the one who is, who was, and who is coming. So let us recap. Abraham was told on the mountain where, one, the house of Elohim would be built. Two, the foundations of life, at the foundation of life from death. And three, where the words of the gates of the enemy were possessed by the seed. And four, that what was fulfilled when Yeshua said he would build his messianic community on the rock. And five, that the gates of Sheol or hell would not prevail against it. Yeshua holds those keys to this very day. Yeshua gives you the power over death. Yeshua gives you the keys. All you've got to do is take them. We were indeed founded on this truth, but some believers have slipped off the mountain. They are fearful. King David brought the plague upon himself out of fear. He acted in the flesh. Sometimes we slip away by acting in the flesh and becoming fearful, and we bring problems upon ourselves. I had a phone call this week from a former family in our congregation who moved away to North Queensland. But they've now moved to Melbourne and are in the process of converting to Orthodox Judaism, even though they acknowledge that they are rejecting their salvation. I don't know about you, that grieves my soul. I cried. It grieves Yah's soul. He would have cried. Because they once upon a time acknowledged Yeshua. Now they are denying him. They do not believe that the Kedavah Shelakim is relevant. They are not the first ones to go along this path, and I'm sure they will not be the last. Nevertheless, that doesn't make the grief any less for Yah or for us, because we thought they were family. But they've not just rejected family, but they've rejected Yeshua's saving grace. We have been serving Yah for any amount of time. If we have been serving Yah for any amount of time at all, we should be able to shake ourselves and neglect appearances. As Abraham cared less about what the prospect of death looked like and trusted in Yah for victory over all opposition to our faith and well-being. We should look at our battles as if they are all forms of the enemy's kingdom of death and overcome them, knowing our foundation is power over death by resurrection. So any lesser enemy aside from death is easy fodder. Since we are already overcome death through Yeshua HaMashiach, we should not fear nor worry what tomorrow might bring. I know I'm an overcomer, and I proved it in many times over in the past nearly 75 years, full years of my life on this earth. I was an overcomer to survive birth as a premature baby without the benefits of today's medical equipment, and especially during wartime. To overcome is something that we all need to learn to be able to live through, no matter what our circumstances. Things happen to us daily. It doesn't matter what someone wants to throw at you. You can overcome. It doesn't mean you don't get hurt. It doesn't mean that you don't want to go and hide yourself in a little room and cry. You pick yourself up and you take yourself off and you start again. We've all done that many, many times. But we are overcomers. We have to see ourselves as overcomers. And no matter what our circumstances, we need to praise Yah for our mercies every single day. And there are many of them. Just getting a car park someplace. Just getting a red light on the way to pick up the children from school. I pick up my grandchildren every single day from school and have done for the past 11 years. And it can take me anything from 3/4 of an hour to to an hour and a half to get there and to come back. And sometimes it can be over 2 hours if there's been accidents. You know, Yah gives us the grace to be able to have patience. He gives us the grace to see his mercies in every situation. And that's one of the foundational truths that we can hold on to. That by his grace we have the power over death and the best key we can ever possess, and is so secure that if you've been backslidden for years and years, and if you repent and get back on that mountain and stand firm on the rock of Yeshua and inside the house of assembly or the Beit Knesset, the adversary can rage all he wants, but you have power over him. You have to remember that. You have the power over him. Abraham proved it. King David proved it. Yeshua proved it. So can you. Are there any questions? No questions? Well, then we will move on to the remembrance service.